trades work. The Rocky Mountain Mechanical Contractors Association podcast starts right now. Here's your interim host, John Ekstrom. Welcome back to Trades Work. I'm your interim host, John Ekstrom, and I'm pleased to welcome Allie Spray, President and CEO of Hispanic Contractors of Colorado. Welcome to the show, Allie.
Thank you, John. Thank you for the invitation. I'm happy to be here.
We're thrilled to have you. So, you lead Hispanic Contractors of Colorado. Tell us about the organization. What do you all do? And how long have you been at it?
Thank you. Yes, this is my 4 week in the role. So Hispanic Contractors of Colorado is a trade association.
Did you say 4th week?
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
Yes.
Fresh. I just wanted to make sure I got that right. All right.
4 week. Yes. Hispanic Contractors Colorado is a trade association, was founded in 1991 by a couple, Hispanic business owners. And their mission, it was to advocate, support, and connect, small business, minority women owned business in the construction arena with large projects. At that time, it was the Broncos Stadium, Coors Field, large projects that we see around our beautiful city and our state. So it's a trade association. We have around 210 members. So we connect with other trade associations, collaborate, as we know, the construction industry, the projects we do, they're only possible by great teams. So that's why we collaborate with other associations. So we have events. Saturday, March 2nd, we're going to have a gala. We're going to have around 450 attendees. So that's what the organization does, and we do it really well. And I'm honored to be in this role. I'm not new to the organization. I got involved in the organization 22 years ago.
Oh, my. Okay.
Yeah, don't do the math, please. I'm going to put some glasses here. So I started as a volunteer committee member. Then I was in the board of directors for 9 years. I was chair of the board for 2 years. I have been involved in different capacities. I helped found one of our committees that is really strong, the women in leadership in the industry. And now when this opportunity came on my door, I decided it was time to get to what I'm really love and I'm passionate about, advocating for diverse contracting firms.
That's fantastic. Well, especially here in Denver, I mean, you mentioned working on big projects. You always see cranes dotting the sky.
Oh, thankfully.
Yeah.
Yes.
It could be going in the other direction, which, yes, you know, some people will complain about growth and whatever. And I feel like some of that is maybe a little bit misplaced, because if you're going in the other direction, generally your town is not doing well. But when you see cranes in the sky, mm-hmm, it's good for everyone. Rising tide lifts all boats.
Yes. And especially, you know, I'm also on the board of the Colorado Construction Education Foundation. We created some videos to tell the students what is construction. And as annoyed that we get by the roads, the noise and everything, construction touches everything.
100%.
Everything from the new buildings, the new hospital, the new library, to the renovation in our own homes, the net renovation in our schools, the renovations in our hospitals. So there's always something that is going to be under construction. And so we tell the students, if you didn't have construction, imagine there were not even planes to manufacturing plants to build all the stuff. Your Amazon packages come because we build distribution facilities. Your everything that you see around comes because there's a facility, there's a building, there's a bridge, there's a road that touches everything.
Absolutely, 100%. It is the lifeblood, exactly, of the economy.
Thank you.
You cannot deny that. So you mentioned you've been part of this organization for 22 years.
Mm-hmm.
Were you exclusively in this organization, or were there other things you were doing in addition to being a part of this organization?
So my background, I'm a civil engineer, which a lot of people don't see that because I have done from marketing, estimating coordinator, business development, so they don't see me as an engineer. So when I was growing up, my dad was a civil engineer. I always saw his drawings and telling me how this paper will become a building, a home, something was always fascinated to me. So I went and did my degree and my professional engineer certificate. This was back in Mexico when I moved to Colorado 23 years ago. Sadly, as happened to most of our immigrants' stories, these credentials are not completely transferable.
Oh, geez.
So it was starting all over, either going back to school, which I didn't have the knowledge or the expertise or the money to do that. So I started working in different, I'm working in manufacturing, and I working for a mechanical contractor for 17 years doing, again, estimating, marketing, business development, outreach to this role. So construction has always been in my blood, and I have been part of the AGC, ABC, the Society of Marketing Professional Services. Construction is my passion, and so I've been I run a couple of the associations in Colorado.
Wow.
Yes.
One of my college roommates was a civil engineer, and he ended up working in like Department of Transportation type of stuff. Mm-hmm. What was your specialty?
My specialty, I love concrete, but I was doing, before I moved to Colorado, I was doing concrete reports. We were building an industrial park, so I was in charge of all the pourings of the columns and everything. So I would report every 7, 14, 21, 28 days. So concrete was one of the most challenging subjects, but that's what I was passionate. Then I moved to Colorado, and then I have to start. And that was interesting because I was tasked with do some marketing, which I never thought I would, business development, and now leading this organization.
100%. Yes. So you know, I mean, this business from the inside out. You've done, it sounds like, every role.
Except entrepreneurship. I admire them, but not yet.
Okay, well, maybe someday.
Someday.
Who knows?
Yes.
All right. In the bio on your website, it reads, and you also alluded to this earlier in the conversation, mm-hmm. Ali is committed to help and mentor young professionals and is a strong advocate for diversity, equity, and inclusive practices for the betterment of the construction industry and the empowerment for women in the corporate world, which I think is really cool. Tell me more about that and what where that passion comes from.
So when I was growing in Mexico, I'm a really patriarch culture. When I told my family I want to be an engineer, it was a shock for them, even though my dad was. My grandma, I remember, she laughed and said that I was never going to get married because I couldn't be smarter than a man. So it was interesting to have those stereotypes, right?
Yeah.
And I was the only female in a class of 23 males for 4 years in my career. I never have a female teacher, a female mentor, a female role model to look up to.
Yeah.
There were other women in other generations. So for me, giving back is about, I didn't have that experience, but that doesn't mean that nobody else can have it.
Right.
It's not about me. You learn it to do it. So I have met a lot of Latinas, a lot of women starting in this business, and how we support them, how we advocate them. Because the recruitment, everybody talks about recruitment, but it's, retention is the key. If we want their skills, their perspectives, their ideas, we need to find those opportunities for them to feel like they belong in here. So the diversity, we have it in our industry. You look in our job sites, we have people from different walks of life, and regardless of the skin color, you have them from different locations from the state, the country, religions, everything. And the inclusion is part of that. But I feel the belonging part of it is the glue that brings all these initiatives together.
Yeah, I like the way you describe that. And to me, it stands in stark contrast to what you hear sometimes. You know, the terms diversity, equity, and inclusion have come under fire from certain corners of the world. First of all, why do you think that is? And secondly, how do you address people who criticize those types of things?
Excellent question, because sometimes our association comes to that feeling like people need the handout, right?
Right.
They're asking for a favor, and I see it from my members. They always tell me, I want to be part of a project because I'm a qualified company who happens to be certified. So for them, it's the pride of what they do, their skills and everything. Mm-hmm. So people that attack the DEI initiatives, I feel they're threatened by the change in the status quo that for some people have been comfortable, but it has not been equitable for everybody. So they were trying to get opportunities. Again, it's not giving hands out. It's giving the opportunities. It's redefining the rules. They're refining the guidelines for people to have economic opportunity. At the end, you and I, we want the same thing. We want to make a living to provide for ourselves, for our families. And I think that's what people are looking for, those opportunities to be at the room, to be at the table, to share their ideas, to share their perspectives. And I think, like I say, people, they feel like this is scary, this is uncomfortable, even sometimes using the word unconstitutional, is because the privilege that they have had, that they are in those rooms, they don't feel that it needs to be changed.
Right, and they have maybe unrecognized privilege, right?
Yes.
Where they haven't considered their own sort of seat and how that. There's a quote from Sir Isaac Newton that says, if I have seen further, it's because I've stood on the shoulders of giants.
Exactly.
Many people don't recognize the giants upon which they are standing.
Exactly.
And that's what you're describing. So in order for more equity, I mean, let's help more equitable opportunities for everyone is what you're
exactly.
I hear you describing.
And that's what our members in HCC, they're looking, HCC, we call it Hispanic Contractors of Colorado. That's what they're looking for, opportunities for them to say to their kids, I was part of building the Coors Field. I was part of building this Bronco Stadium. That's what they are trying to do, right? So again, that privilege that some people they know, or sometimes they don't really know that they have it.
Right.
But for me, it's the fear of changing what it looks like.
I agree. So one of the things I tell my young daughters is, if you can see it, you can be it. Mm-hmm. Which I think one of the things you described is coming up in this industry, you didn't have a single female mentor, you didn't have a single female teacher. So visibility is certainly a challenge that still exists for women in this space.
Yes.
What other challenges do you see, and how are you overcoming them?
So the challenge, you know, the industry, the construction industry is tough, right? When you're in a job site, the conditions are harsh. So when women want to become mothers, how we provide them the space to even nurse, right? To pump their milk for their baby. For some women, sometimes when they have their regular period, it's harder, they're in pain. So, but they feel like, I cannot ask for special accommodations because I'm going to be treated differently, right? So again, how we make those spaces safe for people, how we make spaces safe for minorities. They have sometimes a cultural, a religious background that they want to honor. So sure. Again, people feel like, why do I have to make special accommodations? Well, I think we're trying to adapt to different requirements. So for women, it's about the lack of representation in the C-level suite, right?
Yes.
I like to say, and so maybe some people are going to upset when I'm saying this, men get promoted by the potential, women get promoted by the results. So, and the women have to keep proving themselves. And I see in my career, talented men getting promoted at 35-year-old. Women, you're at that age, you're either starting a family or thinking of starting a family, so you're starting to doubt, if I leave, what is my job going to be? So there are different challenges, representation, mentorship, and sponsorship were two different things. The mentors provide the guidance, the support. The sponsors provide the opportunities for those special places in the room.
I like what you said about accommodations. Just because something has been done the way it's been done forever doesn't make it right.
No.
Right? I mean, if we want to have the world that we want to see, we need to change and evolve with it.
Our industry involves. We're not building the buildings the same way.
No.
Right? So we're making change some policies. And again, it's about, if we're talking about bringing more talent, we cannot say we're doing this the same way and expect people to come to our industry.
Because you've got a huge untapped resource over here, potentially. And let's see how that could potentially evolve the thinking.
And that's the beauty of it. We want diverse ways of thinking, diverse opportunities, diverse perspectives, diverse challenges. People challenge it. Why are we doing it this way, right? People feel threatened by AI because it's new, but we're already using it. So why are we afraid of bringing diverse talent when we so desperately need it?
Well, I mean, this is a hot take for me, but I think culturally we are just afraid of women in so many ways, and it's ridiculous. But that's a personal opinion.
That's
we're all
a different
editorialist.
Show.
Yes,
that's
it is.
A different show.
As an industry, as you know, we face a huge deficit of talent, mm-hmm. and we're trying to tap into new pools of talent. We need more skilled labor of every kind. What's unique about the Hispanic community? And how are you working specifically to reach them through HCC?
You know, we see it in our, we know that Hispanic labor is one of the most represented in the industry. But we also see the challenges because we were raised as a way, don't make noise, don't raise your voice, don't bring any issues, just work, keep your head down, and just do it. Well, our newer generation is saying, no, wait a minute, I have something to say. So we're trying also to change that cultural ingrained that we have in ourselves as a woman too. I was always taught that men come first. I even serve their plate before I even sit myself. So that was something that I have to also change in a male-dominated industry. I've been fortunate to have male mentors. So it's not like Ali is mad at the men. No, Ali knows that this is an industry that is not men versus women. It's men working along women. So their skills and women's skills bring together to bring a winning team. So for Hispanic talent, we're looking, I know there's the hot topic of the immigrants influx, but how we use some of them, they have the skills, because we are seeing them, they're coming and have the skills, and we have the needs. So we are hardworking. We want to provide for our families. We're loyal, and we just also have fun doing our jobs as well.
Right. And these are folks who are seeking opportunity. They're seeking to leave situations that are less than favorable for whatever, any of a number of reasons. But they're here because they want to be here. They mm-hmm. desperately seek opportunity. So I'm 100% with you on that. And going back to something you said that I found really interesting, you're trying to change the way business is done. I worked in corporate, and I used to liken it to when there would be changes. It's kind of like steering a cruise ship. Mm-hmm. It just very, very slowly. So you're talking about an industry writ large I mean, just a little bit at a time, you got to keep making these incremental changes. It's not easy, but it's important work.
And that's one of the challenges for DEI initiatives when the industry, the construction industry, start adopting this DEI. We're an industry that we're so used to results either in a project completed on time and budget, safety records and everything. So people feel that DEI, once you hire somebody to do the DEI initiatives, is like flipping the switch. Everything is going to change, right?
Right.
And it doesn't, and people are like, next year, no. In 3 years, no. This is not an education. I mean, this is not a DEI training. I get so upset with people. I did my DEI training. Well, training is for something specific like CPR, first aid, you know, something that you're good at your job. DEI is a journey. We're all in this and we're learning. I'm learning every day when I meet new people. So our industry needs to embrace that DEI is not you hire somebody and it's going to change. We have centuries of telling people, do your job. It's a tough one. Be strong. And suddenly we come and ask them how you feel about it. What are your feelings? Well, it's going to take a little bit for people to trust to share their feelings or trust how they feel about their job and their coworkers. So for me, DEI is really a long marathon that we might not come to the finish line because there's not really a finish line.
Right.
It's a whole process in a journey that we are on in this together.
Well, I mean, yeah, you can't get to a finish line of something that is largely conceptual.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, it's almost like I think of the movie The Social Network when he says it's a lot like fashion. Fashion is never done. Right? The concept of fashion never ends. So how we understand the culture of an industry is always necessarily going to evolve.
It has to evolve, right?
100%. It cannot stay stuck. Nothing is static like that.
Yeah. I mean, we see everybody complaining about millennials and their way of working. We have younger generations that are going to teach us new stuff. We're going to learn from there. So we have to embrace it because, again, if we're trying to bring the new blood to our industry, but we tell them, you have to do it this way. How really we're going to make it attractive, right? Instead of saying, we want you, bring us your idea. I learned from my kids and my kids' friends of all the social media platforms, whatever's out there, because I'm so outdated with my Facebook, apparently. So the same thing, we have to embrace what everybody brings to the table, new ideas, new challenges as well, too.
Evolve or die.
Exactly.
So You strike me as sort of an inherently optimistic person. You have an infectious energy that I really just like adore and I hope is coming through the microphones here. What excites you about the future of this industry most?
It excites me that, you know, it's never going to go away. As I told you, everybody's like, we're done building. No, we're not building. We see it. We're seeing our airport celebrated, I think, 20, 30 years. We have to keep renovating. So our industry is always evolving. I love meeting new people. I love seeing what they're bringing to the table. I love to see what education they have. I love to see that. And other thing I always tell the students, if you think your career is going to be linear, not ever. You're going to have crossroads. You're going to have U-turns. You're going to have runabouts. And I think you're right. I'm an optimistic person because I don't have the energy to go the other direction. I love meeting people. Some are challenges, but it's also a good thing because sometimes those, like they call it the haters, is my inspiration to prove them that I'm doing something, even my little grain of sand, to change something in this industry.
Fantastic. We sit currently in the middle of a legislative session.
Hey.
So I'm curious, what do you have your eye on in the legislature that our industry should be aware of?
Right now, we're looking into the wage theft and the construction defects, right? We appreciate and we work with our elected officials, and we call it this way because their bills or their ideas, they have the best intentions. We want to protect our workers. We want to protect our business owners. But sometimes some of these ideas have unintended consequences that affect how businesses run.
Well said.
And so we're trying to educate them because they even told us, I have an expertise in this area, educate me. Sadly, our industry has come always across that we like the profit. No, we want people. Our business is about people. If we don't have the people to build it, we're nothing. So we're trying to tell them we care about people. There are some bad players in the industry. We know that. But there's a lot of people providing and changing their communities and their economic power and the way the landscape is looking. So we're trying to educate, but it's hard sometimes because they always pretend that our industry only cares about the money.
Yeah, that is tough. My personal background is in oil and natural gas. Not the most popular industry.
Never.
But construction, like oil and gas, is often judged, you are only as good as your worst operator, right? Whoever the bad actor is out there, everyone in that industry is going to get painted with that brush.
Exactly.
And so that is tough to overcome. And so, yes, it's a lot of work educating legislators who may not have much experience or exposure to construction and tell them, like, no, this is, from my perspective, this is how we do it. So it's incumbent upon you to fill in the other side of the picture for
exactly.
them.
Exactly. And we come and educate them in the whole industry, from large, medium, small companies. We come to tell them the stories of the good players, right? The good stories that we have. How some employees get even support when they have a debt in the family or they want to buy their home. How we are supporting, because again, our business is about people. Yep. And we care for them and we want to retain them.
Perfect. All right. Well, I have one last question for you.
Yes.
You mentioned you wanted to be an engineer. I don't know at what point you came to that that idea, but when you were a little girl, what did you want to be when you grew up?
I wanted to be a lawyer.
A lawyer, really?
Yes. Funny enough that I like to get into arguments and discussions.
Well, you're at the legislature now. That's a great place to
change. Yes.
To practice some of your lawyer skills. But what was it about being a lawyer that was attractive to you?
It's about that the way of the law and how it interpret. And maybe it was the movies that you see the lawyers and the female lawyers with the briefcases, right? But as I kept learning from my father, and he kept telling me, this is what we're doing. This is how we change our community. A simple home is somebody's dream. Right?
Yeah.
A hospital serves a community. So, and my mom said, you know, the day you lose a case and your client gets sentenced to even life debt, you're going to be crying because you're going to lose that optimist. So I said, yeah, maybe I should switch it. But that was pretty much, I think it was would be my backup plan if engineering was not working.
Interesting. All right. Well, Allie, this was an absolute delight. Very informative, very insightful. Where can people find out more about Hispanic Contractors of Colorado?
Yes, thank you, John. We have our main phone number, 303-893-3893. Our website is hcc-diversityleader.org.
Fantastic.
And they can find me on LinkedIn. People know who I am, too.
Very good. Well, that will be in the show notes on all the podcast platforms. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, John, for the invitation, and thank you for the conversation.
And thank you for listening. Stay tuned for more industry insights, news, and information about the women and men building our communities, building our skylines, and building our future. This is John Ekstrom signing off.
Tradeswork is a production of the Rocky Mountain Mechanical Contractors Association. For more information about our organization, please visit rmmca.org.